Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight.
Hello.
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 Welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
I'm assuming you're not East Coast because it looks bright out behind you.
I am West Coast. I'm San Diego.
I was going to say, yeah. I can see the palm trees.
Palm tree back there.
Yeah. There's a baseball field behind me.
So nice.
I'm literally sitting at the high school in my car because I'm like, okay, how do I make the time work with like drop off, pick up? So I'm like sitting in my car.
I can only imagine.
Amazing. Honestly.
And like multiple children. It's
yeah.
Gotta be like,
yes, it's fun.
I pencil something in.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, it's so like super mom being like, okay, I'm writing a book. I'm bringing the kids to volleyball. I'm recording podcasts in cars. Like, probably got to go home and like make sure that they're fed at some point.
I did that before. I cooked, I did okay. The cooking before. Because if not, then everyone comes home and it's like, I have one kid that gets super hangry and I'm like, it's not worth it. That drama is not worth it. Something will be cooked. Or bought.
Yeah.
Let's not go that super mom. Like, yeah. Let's not go that super mom. There are lots of nights when things are bought.
That's like I have a 16 month old and she eats, but a lot of times she just grazes. And it gets to the point where like she gets so hungry that she keeps asking for milk. So like you can't just drink milk. So like our go-to, like my husband and I look at each other, I'm like, just go to freaking like go to McDonald's. Like chicken nuggets and french fries, this kid will devour french fries and all the chicken nuggets. And I'm like, if she's gonna eat, I don't care.
You know what? There are so many things you say that you're not gonna do as a parent until you're a parent, and you're like, I will freaking bribe you. I don't care. Just like do what like please. Yeah.
Eat something. The other day all she wanted was pickles. I was like, you know what, girlfriend?
Here's a jar.
Go down. I don't even care. Just
I had three kids under the age of 5 at once when I started writing. So to me, it was like, you want apples and, you know, chocolate? Go right ahead.
Oh my gosh.
Supermom. I'm like,
I was going to say, like, we're like.
Oh, I'm sorry. Teresa was talking over you.
No, it's fine. I was going to say, like you're saying, you know, you had 3 kids under 5. And we were like looking at your like extensive backlog of books.
Extensive.
And now even knowing that, I'm like, it's impressive on its own. It's even more impressive now knowing like.
Thank you.
Kudos. Yeah. No, that you are super mom. A. Bromberg, a.k.a. super mom.
Yeah, we can say that, but there is still mom guilt at every corner. So it doesn't matter how super mommy you are. Like, yeah, I was not the person who made the hair bows and, you know. You're just getting what you get. So
that's honestly, my husband's away for business, so my daughter is staying. My kids are 15 months apart.
I have a set of those.
Oh, do you? Oh my god. No one. Everyone told me straight off the bat it was going to be hard. They weren't lying. It's hard, and with his tummy issues. So my in-laws were like, "We'll let your daughter sleep overnight." And I'm like, this is amazing. Thank you. And then like the whole way home, I'm like crying, texting my husband. Yep. I'm like, I'm awful, but I can't do this.
No, to me, it was like Costco because you could put two car carriers in the cart at the same time because their carts are so wide. Mm-hmm. So that was the best. You could put two on the top. And I would be like, I would take like, you know, 30 minutes to go get like a pedicure or something. But the whole time I'm like, can you hurry up? I got to get home. Like as much as you want to break from them, you're like, oh my God, I need
to get back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Vicious cycle.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Whatever.
I also understand why moms drink.
Yeah. There are times.
That glass of wine comes in handy every once in a while.
Or you just tune everything out and you're like, what do you mean my kid's calling my name over and over? I'm sorry. I didn't hear that. Like, before you had kids in restaurants, you would hear every single sound. And now you're just like, what? I don't hear a thing. Yeah.
We're not here to talk about kids today.
Okay, sorry. I'll get sidetracked.
I'm sorry. I'm a mom.
It is like so hard for us to stay on track in general. So we'll probably go off on like a million tangents.
I'm good with that.
It's fine. Yeah. I know that we did just bring up your extensive backlog. And we are like kind of new to you. We've read a few, but... I mean, there's so many. I have to get around to your F1 series because I'm a big F1 fan. But What is like the your like favorite series that you've written so far?
I always say this is the one I'm writing because I don't think that's fair. It's like picking which kid, you know, it's like depends on the day and how you feel. For me, I like books with depth. And I do have a couple books that are lighter, but those are like those are harder for me to write actually. I'm a sports girl in real life. Like I have the baseball game on the side over here because it's playoff season and my Padres are going far. The player duet, I have the player and the catch. I really like that series. Cause it's about a catcher and I was a catcher and there's just that love there. My Sin series, which is a billionaire series, to me, that's a really fun one. And then I like my Play Hard series. It's about five sisters saving their family sports agency. And so each one's about a different sport. There's hockey in there, you know, but I like to like switch it up. Like I'm not just an office romance. Like, and that's almost a detriment to me because everyone's like, we don't know what we're going to get. And I'm like, that's a good thing for me. But you know, everyone's like, you need to stay in your lane and only write small town or only write this. And I kind of write across the board. It just depends on what hits my fancy when I have I have a book due on Tuesday that I haven't started. I've started, I'm like 5,000 words into it and I'm like, let's pick a sport. Let's go, you know? So
yeah.
No, but that's cool that you can be so versatile and not stay in your lane. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, for me, I just, as the ice cream man drives by in my car, I get bored. Like, I don't want to do the same thing. And I get the new thing. I mean, I've been doing this 12 years now. Is like the tropes are really heavy. And we used to just write to write and not have to identify tropes. You know, it was a generic like enemies to lover. But now it's like the micro trope and the trope and then this. So for me, when I go to write, I don't really like decide that. I just write it and I let someone else pick the tropes out that they find. Because I get that like there's a formula, but there's not. Like I don't want to write to a formula because I wouldn't be able to write 40 books. I'd like strangle myself.
Yeah. And I actually, as a reader, really appreciate that because we've talked about this and I think there was like a whole TikTok like discourse about it, like the tropification.
Surprise.
There's always some discourse. But I think that, I mean, we love a good trope. Obviously everybody does.
Everybody does.
But I feel like sometimes some people, you know, some authors do get like a little too like, oh, this is like what's popular, and they try to cram as many tropes as they can into a book, and it kind of like,
but you forget the story,
the plot.
You lose the plot.
You forget the story. Like, watch it. Like, because I've been, you know, it's a roller coaster, and there's all different things. Like, it used to be no trigger warnings, and it's trigger warnings. Then it's shock value. Then it's, you know, then it you used to have three explicit scenes a book, and one had to fade to black, and you know, there's so many things that have come and gone. Like you just kind of have to like, okay, what do I have to do right now that's hot in the market? And then, you know, in a couple months it will fade and we'll do something different.
That's kind of crazy. Like to think about your backlog and like I started reading when I was 16, which I can't math. I'm 34. So you can math if you want to.
Yeah.
Like I was big on Nora Roberts and like,
oh, Nora Roberts. Yes.
And like, but it's so funny how like you've probably seen so much come and go and have had to kind of like, you're going to do your own thing, of course, because that's just your formula.
But it does influence you. It does influence you. Yeah. Reviews influence. I read reviews, which good, bad, and ugly, which is not always a smart thing. Cause it does get in your head, but I do think you can learn from them. I do think you can, I mean, obviously the ones that don't say nasty words to you, you know, call you nasty things. I do think you can learn from them. I think you can learn, you know, okay, I'm getting maybe too long on the inner monologue in these books, or I'm not giving enough of his perspective. So I read them to a point and then I'm like, okay, now I'm starting to question everything I do. Let's back off for a little bit. But usually the first like 1,000 reviews on a book on Goodreads, I'll read, like I just scan and I just do newest ones first. And I used to like every single one, but then someone told me reviews aren't for authors and I'm intimidating people by liking them. So I was like, okay, I'll just stop. Yeah. But my theory was if they take the time to write a review, like I might as well acknowledge that they took the time to write a review.
Yeah.
Even if it's like a 3 or a 2-star, you know, or a 1-star, like, hey, But like, I can see, like, if I wrote a one star and told the author that I didn't like him and they liked it, they would kind of, I can see why.
Yeah, but you know what? If you have the balls to write the one star, then I think it's...
Someone's going
to
read it.
Someone's going to read it. And you know what? I'm a big fan of, like, if I'm going to dish it, you should be able to me at least, this yeah. is not cool for everyone, but if I'm going to dish something, then I should be able to take it. And I can, like, shoot back at me. So if someone's going to put it out there that, hey, this is my 2-star review.
Yeah, but not everyone's like that.
Yeah, that's true.
No.
Not everyone's like that. Yeah.
No, it's a very sensitive...
It is.
Yeah, people right say, a lot of authors think I'm crazy that I even go on Goodreads.
I was going to say, I really can, like, give you kudos for that, because I cannot take, if that was me, I would be in a black pit of despair.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I said, I stop reading when it starts getting to my head.
Yeah. And I think it's different, too.
I mean,
too,
I'm pretty fortunate. Like... I will say I'm pretty fortunate. Most of my reviews are pretty good.
Yeah.
So if I look, you know, and there's like 5 1-stars out of like 1,000, like whatever, like sure, fine, whatever. Like,
right.
Yeah, you're not gonna please everyone. But I will say you are correct. Like, I do feel like with this book in particular, Twisted Night, like you do have a really great flow. Like you're right.
Oh,
like
you.
It's, I don't know, you're writing super to me. I mean, who am I? But like, I liked it. Like I followed it. Like you have a point, like you get to the point. Like I feel like everything that you were delivering on was like, you hit the mark.
There's a reason behind it.
There's right. a reason behind it, and it's not like nothing felt drawn on. Like you gave us what you needed to with the angst and everything else, and it was like, okay, this was the perfect amount, and then boom, we moved on to something else, which that's like super hard to do.
Oh.
I couldn't write. We always say this. Teresa and I say this, so we're blue in the face. Like
I don't think I could either. I've never taken a writing class. I just wrote, like started writing and writing what I like to read. So pacing for me, like the second book that I just finished is the first time I've ever really plotted out like a W plot, really? Make sure okay. where I was, because to me, it's just, I know like where the story's going, I outline it, but the first book, there are so many plot threads to pull in case I paint myself in a corner.
Okay.
That I needed to make sure. And I wrote that 1.5 years ago. So to step back in the shoes of these characters and be like, oh my God, there's like 50 plot lines going, like where, not 50, but you know what I mean? Like, yeah. what am I going to forget? What did I mess up? You know? So for me, it was like, okay, I really have to plot the next 2 books out just to make sure like that I yeah. don't miss something.
Yeah. Because I mean, readers who are really big fans of like, you know, just authors in general, but of a book, like they will 100%.
Oh, they find everything.
Call you out. And they, I'll say, because we've you know, interviewed a bunch of authors, and we interviewed Tegan Hunter recently, and we were laughing about how like all like readers, like they sit there and they hunt for Easter eggs, and they're like, oh, like the color of the room was blue because she was feeling sad and it was supposed to, and she was like, no, like I just, you know, like the color
just like blue.
Yeah.
I tell my kids that all the time. They're in high school in like English class, and my daughter the day was like, why do I care what color her curtains are, Mom? I guarantee you the author didn't say that they were green because she likes the grass and this. And I'm like, amen, sister.
You're like, yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
but I feel like, you
but
know,
that's
like,
the problem. I mean, right. in an indie book, like if I make a mistake in a series, I can go back and fix it and republish it.
Yeah.
This I cannot, because this is with the publisher.
I'll say, yeah, with Brandon.
So I was super nervous. Like, what? I mean, I literally laid out. My husband came home. He's like, what the hell is going on? I had like 60 pages of paper, like all laid out, because when Bramble or it was with St. Martin's Press at the time, when they approached me about this, they asked me, we want like a Sylvia Day Crossfire-esque type feeling, old school trilogy. Do you think you can deliver? And then we spent like 4 or 5 months working on a plot and what, like they didn't like what I originally did, 'cause it was too dark. And then we kind of went back and forth. So like I have so many notes from so many different places, and I'm like, okay, wait, did I actually write that in the book? Did I not write that in the book? Like what, where did I go? So yeah, I put it like all out, and then I made stickies for each piece of paper and
oh
each
goodness.
Plot point. And then I did like, I have like a board the size of my windshield in my car. And then I just did like a big W, and I just started sticking for like both the last 2 books to see where I was.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I've never done that before, but it was, this is complicated.
I mean, I don't know how to pick up on anything in a book. I'm like, I feel like I'm like the pig on that commercial where like he's head out the window with like his little thing going.
Yep,
like,
the pinwheel.
Like, I'm just like, I'm here for the ride. Teresa definitely tries to dig up more, but like I could tell with this one, I was like, oh my God, she's going to, I'm a big synopsis girl. Like, I have to read the synopsis a few times. Like, I do.
The synopsis doesn't give anything away.
I didn't write it, so I don't.
I saw it and I was like, ooh. Like,
flow through some, I was like, I need some reviews here. I need to know what I'm getting myself into. But I was reading this and I was like, okay, she's going to give me a.
Yeah, but when you read book two and book three, you can go back through and catch things that you're like, oh, yeah.
But
and
then because I've had, I'm going to get a Cliffy,
yeah.
Her brother is going to live and I want him to die.
Well, and for me, because I've had so much, because the indie pace is so fast and we have to write so fast. I've had so much time to sit with these characters that I was able, when I was writing book two, to think of like this massive plot twist that I had no idea was even part of it. And I was like, oh my gosh, and then I had to like make sure that it was like in line with the first book. But for me, that's the fun part of this, is because I get to sit with these characters. The last time I sat with characters for this long was the Driven series, which was my first series.
Yeah.
So that was 11 years ago. So now, you know, it's kind of like the standalone series are the big thing right now. So you don't really get to sit with characters this long and really dig in and dive in deep and then go like, oh, that will work. So that's what I'm excited about now.
I'm really excited that it was a series. I have the physical arc from Bramble that I got, I think like a month ago they sent it, before we knew that we were going to be interviewing you, but I liked kind of like what the synopsis was about. I'm not a big synopsis reader. Katie knows, like, I love to go in blind, but accepting an arc, of course, you have to kind of read, just get a gist. But I like didn't realize that it was a series. I thought it was a standalone. And then I kept getting closer to the end and I was like, how is she going to tie all this up?
Yeah.
And then I realized that it was in fact a series. And I appreciate that because I'm a huge romance fan, obviously. And I feel like we never get.
It used to be super big to have trilogies. And now it's like, it's almost the instant gratification world. And I get that. Like, there's so many books out and there's so many things that you can read and pick and choose from. Why do you want to be tied down and wait for a series? But most people, I don't think they marketed it as a series when they did it. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I'm getting a lot of hate mail because I'm like, I would never read it. And I'm like, well, my website says that it's a trilogy. The book says book one on it.
Yeah.
Like, shut up. I'm like, whatever.
I mean, that's just silly for people to get mad about that. I mean, the Addicted.
You would be surprised at the things they get mad about.
I'll say one of my favorite series of all time is like the Addicted Calloway. Like, I feel like it's so rare that you get a romance book series.
Yeah, and continuation.
Like it gives you like so much more time to build these characters and build this like relationship where like
fall in love.
Right. Exactly.
Well, even with these characters, because it is. Enemies to lovers, like there is animosity, there's hate, there's a lot going on in the background, like there's some shady deals, it's their brother's relationship, there's the grandma aspect, so like it is kind of nice that you're getting all these different aspects and you're not wrapping it up in one book. Like, we get to continue on and really kind of see where you take us with all these different characters. Like, are we going to learn a little bit more about Cassie? Are we going to have some feelings about Cassie down the line? What about the grandma? Like, I need to see her brother. Like, can I come into the story and like and off him somehow? Because like I can't stand this man. But I mean, like, it's kind of cool to like be able to carry through.
And yeah, but you might like develop. People you like, you might not like at the end, and people you don't like, you might like at the end. Exactly. I mean, that's the fun. That's the, you know, it's been fun because I feel like I said, we're writing so fast. I don't get to fall in love with my characters as much. And not that I would ever put a book. I was telling someone the other day, not that I would ever put a book out that I don't love, because that's like, you know, author 101. But there's something to be said for truly having time to fall in love with your characters. And I think it shows on the page, and it shows, or the e-reader or whatever it is these days. I do think it shines through that there's been time and there's been like this relationship that I built with the characters before I hand them off to you.
Yeah. Is that hard? Like, having to create these characters? Because I know that you said that obviously like reviews and things like that, that you will read, but do you feel like protective over them? Like, when people like don't like a certain character, you're like, this is my baby. Like, how do you not like this person that I've created?
I used to. I think after so many heroes, I think for me, the hardest thing was I was very fortunate that my first series did really well with the Driven series and Colton. So I used to get a lot, like after the Driven series, like there's 9 books in that series. There's 5 that you have to read, then 4 spinoffs. I kind of painted myself in a pigeon in a hole because if people didn't like the first one, they weren't going to read the rest of the 9. Right. So then I decided I needed to do something completely away from it. Different kind of hero, but no matter what I did, it was, he's not Colton. Well, he's not supposed to be Colton. And then if I did him like Colton, well, oh, she can only write a hero like Colton. Right. So, I mean, now we're like, I think 40 books into it. I'm just like, whatever. If he sounds like Colton, he sounds like Colton. I mean, there's only so many, you know, dynamics you can do. But for the longest time, it was like, it was a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
For me, you know, I never would change it because I think if I release nowadays, the market's so crazy that I never would have had success. I mean, just, you know, putting it bluntly. But yeah, it's, there's times it's harder than not to do characters, and I can't read while I'm writing because I don't want to sound, you know, accidentally rip off the voice of a different character that I'm in love with, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But so yeah, it depends on the book.
Do your kids read any of the books you've written? No. Is that like a just you're not allowed, or like they just haven't?
Well, I have a 15 and 16 year old. No.
Okay.
Those are my 15 months. And then I have one who just turned, who's 18. I don't think she has any desire to. Okay. Like she just went away to college. So she just actually texted me today, and she's like, the big thing was when she was in middle school, she wanted to read A Court of Thorn and Roses. And I'm not a fantasy reader, but I was like, I have to read this book first. I have to see what's in it. She was a voracious reader. So then of course I fell down the rabbit hole and was like, oh my God. So we kind of read it like every 2 years together, but she's been so busy with school. She hasn't. So she texted me like an hour ago, Mom, I was up till 3 a.m. I've finished all of ACOTAR and now I'm moving on. And I'm like, aren't you supposed to be doing homework? She goes, yeah, but I just, you know, I need to get to Reese. And I'm like, I get it. I get it.
I understand.
Yeah. And I said, and then you meet Zayden.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Oh my God. I love that. That's so funny.
That's so cute. Oh my God.
I can't wait until she calls you and is like, I met a girl and she's like a fan of yours.
Because she does have friends that have read. Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, why is your mom letting you read that? But then I just let it go. She does have a couple friends locally that were like, something came up about the last name and she's like, wait a minute, that's your mom? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
It sure is.
Yep, I write smut. No, I'm joking.
No, that's the thing though. Like, obviously, we have this conversation all the time, like spice versus smut versus whatever.
There has to be a purpose for the sex, to me.
Right. That's what we were going to say. Like,
that's what we like.
It's hard.
I like a purpose.
It's very, as a reader, when you're reading something and you love it, and then all of a sudden it just becomes like smut after smut after smut, and you lose the plot. There's like nothing that we hate more than that. And like, you did it so well in here where it was used as like a plot device and as like a device to move like these characters forward and to show the relationship with these characters.
Developing chemistry.
The server room was one of my favorite chapters to write.
Oh my God.
It was like, she's taking control and she's like, wait a minute, hold up. You do me wrong. I'm gonna show you why.
But
it also makes sense to like each character also, which
like she's strong even though she's a little weak for like family things. Yeah. She's strong and ballsy.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Yeah. No, I was dying over that scene. But yeah, like again, like it is so hot and like all of the spice that you've like written into this is amazing, but it's not like gratuitous. It's there for a reason. So like, yes, we get to enjoy it because it's
yeah, so fun but, to there,
read, but there's a purpose.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing worse than just like skipping sex scenes because you're like, oh, and here we go again.
Yeah.
Can't tell you how many times we've done that.
Yeah.
We're just like, okay.
I've done it too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I'm skimming it to see if someone can use a different phrase that I haven't used because like how many times can you use the same words in one scene? You know what I mean? Yes. Like, so like I'll skim it just to be like, okay, does someone have any other way to say this? But at some point you're just like, oh my God, that's like the 8th scene in like 50 pages. Like, come on.
Yeah. That 100%.
Just write erotica then.
I love how you just said, how you brought up that Rowan is like a badass, but she's like weak for her family. Because like we like loved her, I have like a note like that she is such a badass. But I was like, but she has so much like growing and learning to do still because the way that she like, she's so strong and she's like so business minded and she's so focused. And then she just kind of like lets like Rhett and Chase even too kind of like bulldoze her in some ways. And I just like am like waiting for her like moment.
But don't you think, like, for me, that is part of being a woman. You are always pigeonholed by society into some kind of form of something, whether it be a mom or you're like, I was telling someone the other day, you know, it's like, just because I work from home and do this, like, it's automatically my responsibility for pickup, drop off, birthday parties, homework, soccer practices, volleyball practices, whatever. And I'm like, wait a minute, like, why? But that's just because society has, you know, in the past done it that way. Clearly, like, you know, my husband helps out or whatever. But in her, but I mean, her is more
side, of an if your husband did it, he applauded.
So yeah.
Like... Oh, do we listen?
No, I'm here.
Okay. Okay, good.
But like, if my husband did it, he would get brownie points. If I do it, it's just normal, you know?
Right.
And so I think with Rowan, she's just in this in the society where it's so much, it's exacerbated because it's the South and, you know, there's old school norms. And like, I think how we kind of explain this book to people is it's Succession meets the Murdoch family, like the corrupt Carolina town with like all these people trying to climb on top of each other to get whatever.
Yeah.
Well, get whatever.
Well,
sorry. Once a romance author, always a romance author.
Exactly. I love it. No, but I appreciate that too, because I think it makes her more realistic. Like, I think if she just like came in and was like, had like no growth, like if she was
fully no one formed, wants to read a character that has no growth. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. It's boring. Like, especially in a series, right? Like, so we have two more books coming. She has to go somewhere. So, so I'm excited to see what's, I'm excited. I'm the way that this book ends, which like, I get it. She's going to marry Chase because she needs to get her grandmother's inheritance so that she can buy the company because she thinks Holden fucked her over. It's like a whole thing. Like, I get it, but like, I don't know how you're going to.
But you
like,
don't get it. Yeah.
No.
Well, right. I don't know. She goes through with it. Like, we don't know, Teresa.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean.
But I also like Holden too. Like, he's out for revenge. I really, when I started to read this, I literally in my back of my mind, I was like, I hope we get some flashbacks. And then all of a sudden there was like the flashback. And I'm like,
yes. And Leo is just like, he's one of my favorite parts of the series, like the book.
The hormones are still raging.
Yes.
I was getting choked up reading this child that is fictional, but I was unwell reading his scene.
Yeah, but I think for me, I like to put a little bit of real in all of my books because I think that's what, as much as it's a romance and it's fantasy, or not fantasy, but it's, you know, make believe.
It's still real.
It connects you. It makes, you know, like my job as an author is to make you feel. You can hate me, but you feel, you know, like, so for me, as long as I can get a visceral reaction somehow, I did my job.
You got one out of me.
I'll take it.
But it gives like Holden depth too. Like, you know what he's out for, but then it like kind of brings you back down to like, he is just a person who had a very tragic past losing his brother. He definitely has that weighted down on him thinking it's his responsibility and he caused it. Like, it's just, yeah. Like,
but then how does he get from point A to B and what comes in the middle?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, like, it kind of brings it back into like, wait, hold on a second. We're missing Teresa, where we're talking about this beforehand. Like, I was like, do you have questions written out? And she's like, my first one's like, what do we learn more about Holden and like his past and how he gets to where he is? And I'm very curious where you take us with that one.
Yeah. She's like, well, I'm not
like, let me cross that one off my list.
But even like Rhett and Chase, like, what has, like, I'm sure you'll kind of give, they could just be shady businessmen, which they are, but like, I'm sure there's more to that than just
like, what's Monarch?
Yeah.
Right. Like, what is Monarch?
Good question. Cause when I wrote that, I had no clue.
She was like, I don't know. She's like, your guess is as good as mine.
No, I needed something. And I like, up until the very last minute, I was like, I just had like a blank line there. And I was like, okay, I just need to find a word to stick in here. And then I'll figure it out after. Cause I mean, it was just foreshadowing of something, but didn't know what. So
it's a perfect, it was perfect. The name that you chose. Yeah, so
I agree.
It sounds like very like seedy businessman. Like,
I mean, it could mean king. It could mean rain. It could mean a lot of things.
It could, but the flashbacks and like the whole
I love flashbacks. I like writing flashbacks.
I know a lot, I have, there's one distinct reader I have that every time I write a flashback, there's a nasty review about it. And so I laugh because I'm like, but to me that it's, I could tell you and not show you, or why don't, let me just show you.
Yeah. So I love flashbacks.
To like what's yeah. going on too. Like it brings serious substance to it. Like you could yeah. have said like his brother passed away. Okay. That's sad. But then like,
but you don't see the skateboard. Yeah. Roll yeah, like wheels rolling and yeah.
Yeah. And like him like kind of blacking out like the whole, I mean the yeah. whole scene, it was like heartbreaking, and it also makes you kind of root for Holden. Like, of, I mean, we're rooting for him, of course, but like, even at the
a
end,
different
like,
way.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
But like, even the interaction with like the cop, like in the hospital, like, oh, like they're not going to press charges. And then you start getting angry on his behalf, and like mm-hmm. the lighter, like, okay, would yep. just been like just the lighter. Like, all right, I get it. But like, nope. no, like now you're like that fucking lighter. Like, hold on yeah. a second. Like
clink, click, clack.
Click, yes.
I love exactly. how you wrote that.
Yeah. You I was like, wait, a minute. How does a lighter sound when you flip it, flick it open?
Yeah.
Start play. I'm sure you probably had, I would have had to like play with him. But, like, what is
I was just like thinking of like old school movies where they like flip it and then, you know, like the yeah. old big metal silver ones. I'm like, okay, how do I do this?
Yeah. I'm also, I mean, again, you don't have to answer because I don't think it'll yeah. be a spoiler, but are we going to have more flashbacks with yes. Cassie in them?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
To me, Cassie was a way to have her compare herself to something okay. that he will never be. Okay. And to make a connection between her and Holden because they both okay. have lost somebody. But yeah, I mean, I do have a couple that I could do. It just kind of depends on where the book goes. Like I outline, but I never stay on it.
Yeah. Okay.
It's there, but maybe.
TBD.
TBD.
The letter that the grandmother leaves Nan. Her.
Yeah.
Nan, I know. I loved it. The part specifically where it was like, eat the sugar, drink the wine, laugh when it's inappropriate.
Always.
I highlighted it immediately. I was like, this is just like speaking to me on like a.
That's a totally my level. Mom too. She's very yeah. like spontaneous and in the moment. So it's like, okay, Gran is my mom. Like just very that's like cool. F the patriarchy, do yeah. whatever. Like she's, I send her all my books first and she's like, Christy. Come on, let's up the sex scenes. Let's get it a little dirtier.
That's amazing.
That's my mom.
I was going to say, cool. my question was, yeah. did Nan, like, was she inspired by anybody? But perfect.
Probably my mom, yeah. I mean, just my mom's very, like, you never know what you're going to get ever. And it was fun, like, being raised. Like, I am so, like, straight and narrow, which is, like, you would never guess by what I write. Yeah, but no. My mom is always just spontaneous and very outgoing. And to me, I'm like, okay, that's who I would want someone to give me wisdom from.
That's cool.
Like that's nice amazing.
Home. That's neat. Are we going to see any more Graham letters?
Probably. Probably. Yeah. We'll probably see something. Well, she's actually in the second book. She's at her house a lot. Okay. Because she's going through stacks of all of her stuff. Like, and like Gran has a wall in her study of like just photos with like random people in it because she wanted people to think she was crazy so that they wouldn't take her serious. So there's like a whole wall in her study of like picture frames with like random families. And she just, and to her, that was her way of like either letting people think she was crazy so she could get away with whatever she wanted.
That's amazing.
I love that yeah. so much.
That's like that's a mastermind.
Yeah. I'm like,
yeah. Well, because
she knew what she was doing.
I love, like, I mean, in the letter, she, like, says, like, I grew up in a different, like, time. Like, yeah. she kind of really had to play, like,
she played into the hand, but, like, she was playing her own hand.
Right.
And she's got exactly. some dirt on people, too.
I can't wait. And she, yes, and she that mentions it. Like, she's got some stuff at the ready for Rowan.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure how that was going to come into play. And then I was writing book two, and it was, like, I was in a scene in a boardroom, and I was, like, oh, here we go.
When you're writing, like, does information just kind of like just start striking at any, which angle, yeah. like if you're in the moment, that's so cool.
Yeah. I write linearly too. Like I have to go straight through. So if I think of something, like I'll have my document open and then I just like skip some lines down and just write whatever I'm thinking. And then I make it all one color, like it, so that I know it belongs together and is not part of mm-hmm. what I'm writing. It's really very haphazard, but it is what it is.
I mean, hey, whatever works, right?
I'll say it's yeah. obviously working.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Very well.
How did you, like, come up with the idea for this series?
Good question. I don't even remember. I think I had a completely different series that I actually brought to them. And it was, you know, this is too dark. This is too illegal. So I may write that another time. And then I just spent days, more than days, just reading blurbs of a million books, like just kind of going through. And then it was like, okay, we need revenge. Like, we have to have revenge. Of course, he has to be a hot bazillionaire. And
duh.
Yeah. And so then it was like, I need corruption. I need a way. And so that just kind of falls together.
I like that it's how do I want to say this? Like, I like that it's a little different, right? Like, there are revenge stories, but like, there's a business aspect to it. There's like different plot lines. Like, I love like a little mystery. Like, again, I'm Nora Roberts.
It's a little mystery.
I like a mystery romance component. So like, once I started getting going with this, because again, your synopsis gave us nothing. I was like, okay, like there's something going on over here that I gotta like kind of remember. But obviously, my brain doesn't compute always like all the time with that. So like, I thought it was kind of cool. Like, it's romance, but it's like a little different. Like, it's got something that like,
it's literature. Yeah. It's more like a lit book with more. And for me, because they wanted three books, like I hate when you have a trilogy and the second book's fluff. Like, I just,
yeah.
So for me, it was like, I need to make this complicated enough that I have enough stuff. And like, when I turned it in, I was actually told it was super long and they wanted me to cut things. And I'm like, I can't. Like, if I cut this, like the Leo arc, they wanted me to cut that. And I was like, I can't. Like, no. This humanizes him. This makes us want him to be redeemed.
Yes.
You know, certain scenes, they were like, well, maybe we can shorten these and move these to the next book. And I'm like, no, like, I can write the next book shorter. I don't mind, because this book came in long. But I needed to set the stage. And I needed to have all of these things and these random, like, quirky things that in case I painted myself in a corner later, I could pull on, you know, like, just, so there's things in the first book that you're like, wait a minute, is that a plot line? Is it not a plot line? And honestly, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I'm not sure yet.
She's like, just wait until I hit the end of book three, and then maybe it is.
I did that in Driven because I was my first book series, and I didn't know what I was doing. So like, I have a lot of things, and people all to this day are like, so what about Eddie in this scene? And I'm like, yeah, good question, because I don't know.
You're like, yeah, what about him in that scene? You tell me.
Yourself. Like, again, like, I don't, like, just your mind, like, it's so intriguing, like, you, how you can like set something up where it's like. Like you're saying, like, I can pull on this later if I need to, or.
Yeah. Well, I paint, I learned the hard way. I have a series with Montlake called Resist and Reveal, and it's complicated. It's, she's a madam. He's a high power divorce attorney. There's dirty senators mixed in. Like, it's one of my favorite series that I've written. And it's a 2-book series. And the last chapter in the first book, the second book is the same chapter, but flipped point of views. And the first book was published when I started to write the second book, and I screwed myself. Like, I wrote that last chapter so brutal, I guess, whatever, you know, however I painted one character, I was like, oh shit, how am I going to redeem myself here? So I've learned over time that I have to, like, okay, give yourself an out somewhere, give yourself a couple outs just in case you know, just in case.
Just in case. So I guess what can we, I know that, you know, you're writing something right now. Is it book two or is it just something completely different? Like, what?
Well, I finished book two. I turned that in 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And then, right now I'm writing a sports romance, and then I have, Entangled Publishing picked up my Sin series, which is my billionaire series, and then my Play Hard series. So they're going to be recovering them and putting them in stores next year. So I might do a billionaire series to coincide with the release, with the re-release of Last Resort, because that's a book about triplets, about three brothers. Mm-hmm. So I might, I don't know. I'm not someone who plans, like, I know, have friends who have their books planned out to 2028, and I'm just like, oh my God, how do you do that? No. So it just kind of depends. Like, I'm going to finish this. This will be my 6th or 7th book this year. So I'm done. Like, I'm fried. And so I usually always have a deadline over Christmas, and I'm like, not this year. So no. I'll probably like let my brain rest, catch up on all of the things I have just kind of shoved in my inbox, maybe accounting for a whole year, perhaps. And then I'll figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, especially with this, I mean, this book we're talking, it's not even out yet. So it's not like, you know, I mean, people are obviously going to finish and be like, when's book two coming?
Yeah. Yes, I'm already getting that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm assuming that.
But I love that. I love that because I haven't written a cliffhanger in a long time. Mm-hmm. And I forget that high you get like as an author when you're like, oh, it's perfect. Like, it's perfect. The comment at the end is perfect. Like the end of Fueled with the Driven series, it's four words and it just said everything. And to me, that's fun.
You've completely sold me on the Driven series, by the way. Like I'm going to have to go back and read this.
Okay. But it is my first book I've ever wrote.
That's fine.
So the writing's not as good, but to me, I'd rather have a really good story. You know what I mean? Yes. And the first book is all in her point of view. And then I read a review on Goodreads. This mm-hmm. goes back to my Goodreads. And it said, he is super complicated. I would love to hear his point of view. So I ripped apart Fueled, which is the second book, and I added him in, and that's the best part of the book to me.
That's so cool.
Sold.
So yeah. So the reviewer who said that, thank you very much, 10 years ago, 11 years ago.
I'll say constructive criticism is
always nice. And to this day, that's still my best-selling series.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then, all right, Teresa, I'll do the same. Say less.
Yeah. When you get to the end of the second book, you can just call me up. Okay.
I'm like in like a weird little like I finished your book and I was like I don't know what to pick up next. So I haven't picked up something in 2 days and because he's still waking up in the middle of the night. I need something to read.
Yeah.
I need something to keep me, especially to keep me up. Like he has acid reflux, so we have to keep him sitting up for a little bit. Audiobooks I'm like fine with, but again I'm like
I fall asleep. Like, yeah, I would fall asleep.
This is perfect. I know what I'll be starting.
Okay, yeah. That's tall shoes to fill there. Okay, let's hope it's good. Okay. Well, and if you don't like it, just move to the later ones. Then we're good. My writing gets better.
If I don't like it, if I don't like it, I'll just write a really bad Goodreads review so that you can go and
I'll fix it. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Oh my God. I love it. Okay, so we have. Do we know when book two is coming?
I do not know.
Okay. I was going to say, it's probably premature to even ask that, but.
Yeah. Originally the schedule was 8 to 10 months apart, but then a bunch of stuff happened and it kind of got moved around. Like I didn't even know when book two was due until like March, like to turn it in. Oh, wow. So yeah. So I'm sure I'll be asked for book three soon. So.
That's crazy.
It's amazing how your brain just has to like start. Like, I feel like I literally am like envisioning like, a manual car where like you're in a gear and then it's like, oh nope, hold on, gotta like
It would be easier if I could write all three together.
Yeah.
But I can't, so I mean I can, but I
commend you. You can but you can't. It's just yeah.
I also think it's probably nice to like drop the series for a little bit and then go back to it. Like probably makes it like more exciting.
There's pluses and minuses, yeah. There's pluses and minuses to it, yeah. Because I have to then go reread true. Both books, make notes on anything. Yeah.
Very true. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, it was so great chatting.
It was
with
so
you.
Nice meeting you. It was
nice
so
meeting you guys too.
So fun reading it. The book is Twisted Night. It is coming out on the 24th of September. So by the time this drops, it'll already be out. And now that we have a lot of homework to do because there's all these I'm going to download like immediately.
Okay.
Series.
Well, let's fingers crossed you like it.
Yes, fingers crossed I like it.
We liked this, so I'm assuming we're going to like it. Yeah.
Yes. All right, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, ladies. Thank you.
Bye.
You too. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, suckers.